33. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, and it's found on page 1024 of the Pew Bibles. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demon begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. When all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus, then all the people of the all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Now, can I get everybody please to stand? Now, can you please raise your right arm and put it on your head? Your head, not your mouth. And please raise your left arm and do the same. Okay, you can sit down now. Now, you may be asking yourself, what just happened? Why did Matt just ask us to stand and put our hands on our heads? Well, it was to demonstrate something to you today. It was to demonstrate that we all follow commands. We all follow instructions. But why do we follow commands? Why do we follow instructions? What makes us follow these instructions and commands? And what does following commands indicate to us? Well, we normally follow commands because the person who has given them has some form of authority over us. For example, we've all been following Philip's command this morning because Philip is our service leader today. You all just stood for me and placed your hands on your head, which looked quite funny actually, because I'm delivering the sermon today. Both Philip and I have a form of authority over you this morning. And when we think about it for a while, we realise that we follow commands all the time in our life, don't we? For example, if you drove to church this morning, you followed the commands of the road rules. Well, I hope you did. And it's amazing to think, to stop and think for a while, that a tiny piece of metal placed on a pole with four words on it saying stop has command over you driving a vehicle that weighs about a ton or 2 tons, depending on your size of your car. It's quite amazing, isn't it? This little bit of metal has authority over such a big bit of metal. And in today's Bible reading from Luke, we see a much more amazing form of authority, a much more amazing commands when we look at what Jesus has commands over. And we will see the very question that Luke has been answering from the very beginning of his gospel for Theophilus. Who is this man? Who is Jesus? At the start of our reading today, we see the first thing that Jesus actually has command over. In verse 22, we see Jesus has authority over his disciples. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And they hopped in a boat and they set out. Now, at first, this doesn't sound amazing, does it? After all, Jesus' disciples, they're just his followers. And Jesus is just simply giving them direction. But when we remember back to the calling of the disciples, we see the true authority that Jesus has over his disciples. In Luke chapter 5, we read Jesus telling Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And immediately, Simon, James, and John pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. This is the type of authority that Jesus had. These men, they had successful fishing businesses. They just had caught the biggest catch of their fishing career, so much so that their boat began to sink with the amount of fish in it. And they left it all at the commands of Jesus to follow him. In Mark's gospel account, we read Jesus just simply saying, "Follow me." And that's what the disciples did. They up and left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus' authority was that great that by simply speaking, "Follow me," these men left everything behind and followed Jesus. And this is the backdrop that we have for today's reading, for the second and third example of Jesus' authority that he has. So the disciples, they got into a boat with Jesus and they set sail across the lake. Now the Lake of Galilee is commonly subjected to harsh instant storms that come up. This is because the lake is actually a relatively large lake. You see on the picture from the very top to the very bottom is 21 kilometres in length and the width is 13 kilometres wide. It is also the lowest level freshwater lake in the world, sitting at 200 metres below sea level. It is situated next to a mountainous region, and because of its size, location and its sea level, cold air rushes from the heights of the mountains, sweeps down through the gorges to the east and whips up large swells on the lake. And this is exactly what happened to Jesus and his disciples in today's reading. While Jesus was asleep, the swell comes down and whips up the water, so much so that the big boat begins to sink. It's starting to get swamped. Now the disciples in the boat, they are terrified. They think that they are just about to drown. And it's not an uneducated fear, is it? Remember who the disciples are. The disciples are fishermen. This is not their first time in a boat. This is not their first time in a storm. They are experienced sailors. It would be like if we took all of the fishermen from this room and put them in the boat together. And if we set out and that boat started to take on water, and then we looked to the experienced fishermen and looked at their face, if they're starting to worry, it's a pretty good indicator, isn't it, that the ship's going down. The disciples are terrified. And they wake Jesus yelling, "Master, Master, we're going to drown!" Instantly, Jesus gets up, rebukes the wind and the raging waters, and all is calm. Now just imagine for a minute you're one of those disciples in that boat. How you would have felt. You're in the worst storm of your life. You've just been thinking you're about to die. That's how bad that storm is. And Jesus stands up. He rebukes the wind and the waves. And instantly, all is calm. The waves are gone. The wind is gone. All is still. You turn to your mate who you've been clinging to for life, trying to stay into that boat, and you ask each other, "Who is this guy? Who is this that even the wind and the waters obey him?" Jesus has just shown the disciples what type of authority he has. He has authority over the weather. Even today, with all our technology advances, We still can't even predict the weather, can we? We still get that wrong, let alone control the weather. But what Jesus has done is he's shown that he has control over the weather. What the disciples experienced instantly put them into a state of fear and amazement. And it's kind of like, to get an understanding of this, you kind of need to think about the worst thunderstorm you've ever been in your life. Now, I remember being at my previous minister's place for dinner one night when a thunderstorm came through. It was a pretty decent thunderstorm, and for his 3-year-old son, this was definitely the worst thunderstorm of his life. And I remember him jumping up and commanding the storm to stop, saying, "No, stop! Stop, wind!" Now, all the adults in the room, we were, of course, on the floor laughing, because it was very funny. But could you just imagine for a moment how we would have felt if that storm did stop, if that wind stopped, if that storm stopped? We would have all been standing there in awe, in amazement, but also fear. And this is because no one controls the weather. And this is the reaction that the disciples had. The disciples were left scratching their head going, "Who is this guy?" They knew Jesus was special, but they had no idea who Jesus was. Something which is in complete contrast to the next example of Jesus' authority. So after Jesus calms the storm, the disciples continue to sail to their destination on the other side of the Lake of Galilee. They went from right up near the top, so just over onto the right-hand side, to the Gentiles region of the lake. And as soon as they set foot ashore, they are greeted with a very hostile welcome. Now you can just imagine what the disciples are feeling right now, can't you? They've just almost died out on the lake, and then they finally reach the safety of shore. They're greeted by a demon-possessed naked man. A man who has been able to break free from the chains that he's been chained up with, probably still running with some chains hanging off him. And he runs up to Jesus, and at the top of his voice he yells, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." Now, I know if I was one of those disciples, I would have been thinking to myself, why on earth did I wake Jesus in that storm? Surely it would have been better for me to drown out on that lake than to come ashore to die at the hands of this demon-possessed man. However, Jesus is not fazed. He calmly asks the man, "What is your name?" And the demons respond, stating their name is Legion. For the man was possessed by many demons. Now at this point, the disciples are probably back in the boat, getting ready to leave Jesus there to flee the area. See, here is a man who is possessed by that many demons that he calls himself Legion. Now, just for a bit of reference here, to get an understanding of how many demons there are, a legion in the Roman army consists of 6,000 soldiers. So you can kind of get the imagery here that is going on. This man has superhuman strength. He cannot be contained. He's not living near civilization anymore. He's possessed by that many demons that he calls himself Legion. But the interesting thing about this man is not his strength, not that he's possessed by demons, or even that he's naked. No, the interesting thing about this demon-possessed man is how he approaches Jesus. Did you notice it? The demons inside the man knew who Jesus was. They knew the answer to the question the disciples had asked out on that lake. Who is this man? They knew that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. They knew the authority that Jesus had. Look at how they approached him. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And because they knew who Jesus was and the authority that he had, they pled with Jesus. They asked Jesus to show them mercy, and they pleaded for permission to enter the pigs. This is because they knew they had no authority. They had no power when it comes to Jesus. When it compares to the authority and the power that Jesus has, the demons showed the correct response to Jesus' authorities. They submitted to him. Which is in complete contrast to the disciples and also the Gerasene people. The people from the Gerasene region, they're not Jewish people. They are Gentiles. They may have known and heard a bit about this fellow called Jesus. But after witnessing the miracle of Jesus ridding this man of all those demons, they have the same response that the disciples have after Jesus calmed the lake, the storm on the lake. They are overcome with fear. And instead of realizing who Jesus is and welcoming him, they ask him to leave because they're afraid of him. They ask him to leave because they don't know who Jesus is. All they saw was someone who had the authority to cast these demons out. The very demons that they could no longer contain. And they're fearful of Jesus. And they ask him to leave. However, the previously demon-possessed man, he has the correct response to Jesus, doesn't he? He realizes who Jesus is, and he begs Jesus to let him come with him. He wants to spend more time with the Son of God, to learn from him. He realizes who Jesus is. He wants to be engaged with him. But he also realizes Jesus' authority. And when Jesus says, no, go home, he follows his instruction. And he does the same thing that we have been told to do today, which is to go home and tell everyone how much God has done for you, how much God has done for me. Well, friends, today we've seen the different responses to Jesus and the authority that he has. We've seen that Jesus has the authority to command demons. He has the authority over the weather. And he has the authority to command humans. So the question for us is today, do we know who this man is? And will we respond by obeying his commands? Do we have the faith to trust in Jesus? Do we have the faith to trust that Jesus is able to overcome the chaos in our own lives, to calm the storms within our own lives, to rid our lives of their demons? Do we have the faith to trust that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins? which is the biggest storm in our life, which is the biggest demon in our life? Sin. Do we have the faith to trust that Jesus can overthrow that? Or are we going to act like the Gerasenes and ask Jesus to leave because we're afraid of him? Because we don't know who he is? Well, friends, I hope that we have been reminded today of who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Saviour of the world. That Jesus has been given all authority. And we have been reminded of Jesus' words to the previously demon-possessed man. To return home and tell of how much God has done for you. How much God has done for us. So let's pray now and ask God for his help to do exactly that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your words here to us today. We give you thanks that Jesus has been given all authority and that we can trust him at his words. We pray that you would help us to implement what we have learnt today, to put our faith in Jesus, knowing that he has calmed the storms and cleared the demons out of our lives by removing the stain of sin from us. We pray that your Spirit would be empowering us so that we can return home to tell of how much you have done for us. And we pray all this through your Son's name. Amen.